Is my mic on?
All right, sweet. So, guys, I just want to say I'm super grateful for this opportunity just to be able to preach to you guys. It's an honor to be able to preach the word, and I'm just really, really grateful too. You guys can open up your Bibles to Matthew 4. And, you know, I just want to say, Peter, thank you so much for that communion. That was really inspiring. That brought me to tears. Yeah, give him a round. So last weekend, the campus ministry was in Champaign, Illinois. And we were at a conference called The Battle. And what The Battle was about, it was reminding us that we are in a spiritual war against Satan. That there are forces trying to tear us down. That when we take two steps forward for God, Satan's trying to get us to take two steps backward. And, you know, we learned some things like we have to learn how to wield our sword. We have to learn how to handle the scriptures, and we have to know the scriptures. And it was just a great time overall. Like, everyone had a blast, and amen. You know, while I was in Champaign, I had a conversation with someone, and they asked me if I was an introvert or an extrovert. And, you know, I was thinking about it, like, I think I'm both. Like, I'm not sure. And they said, I think people have the wrong idea about introverts and extroverts. And that introverts gain their energy from being by themselves. And if you're an extrovert, you gain energy from being around people, which I agree with. So later I was pondering. I was like, okay, do I gain my energy from being by myself or being in a group of people? And, you know, I thought of times where I spent the whole day doing whatever I wanted. Like, wake up, have pizza for breakfast, then go play video games. And then at the end of the day, I'd have no energy. I'm like, I did everything that I wanted. And then I thought about times where I was with some of my best friends doing the things that we loved, and yet I still felt drained. So I thought to myself, well, what am I? And then it hit me. Then I realized I am a Godvert. Now, I've coined this word Godvert, and it can be defined as someone who goes to the creator of the universe for his or her power, energy, and for their cup to be filled. It's amazing how the Spirit works with Jeff's welcome, talking about being filled up. And when I realized that I'm a Godvert, that I get my energy from God and nothing else, because nothing else cuts it, that if I'm by myself for the whole day or if I'm with some of my best friends doing spiritual things, I will be filled and I will have energy. You know, with Thanksgiving right around the corner, for most of us, we have a great opportunity to get some spiritual rest. You know, when Dustin was here, he talked about having your cup being overflowing. And it's this idea of a gas tank. You want your gas tank full. Imagine always running on E. How effective of a disciple are you going to be? How effective are your discipling times going to be? How much joy is going to be in your life if you're always running on empty? So we're going to be talking about how can we really fill ourselves up? How do we become God-verted? Now, there's three areas that I believe greatly affect how filled up our cup is. The first one is the word of life. So reading here in Matthew 4, verse 4, Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." So here we learn from Jesus how important the Bible is, how important God's thoughts and words are. And Jesus considers the word of God more important than food. Like, surely God can keep someone alive even without food. Now, maybe some of you guys are like, Nick, every single sermon we've heard you preach, like, one of your points is always that we need to read our Bibles. And you're like, come on, bro, we get it, man. Like, can we have some deeper stuff? But guys, this is a staple to our walk with God. This is the book that has forever influenced my walk with God. It has changed my life along with faith and actually doing what the Word says. So I know you guys hear it a lot from me, but it's super important. Now, we live in a society that is all about gains. Okay? I hear this all the time. All my millennials know exactly what I'm talking about. And for some of the elders in the church, gains are typically referred to as just like getting bigger physically, like getting more muscular gains. You could have a big meal in front of you, like, all right, I got to get these gains, right? But when I read this scripture, when I study the Bible with people, when we read this scripture, the vision I have is spiritual gains. Like, I'll ask them, okay, how many times a day do you actually eat food? And most people will say 3. Now, if you're like me or Thomas, it can be anywhere from 7 to 8 times a day. But we'll just go with 3. And it just gives a great, like, metaphor for how much we should be reading our Bibles. Like, how important it is. Because you wouldn't, like, if I miss one meal, I have a headache. I'm like, man, what is going on? Like, I got to get something in my stomach. Imagine missing 2 days of quiet times. Imagine not reading your Bible for 40 days. How are you going to be doing spiritually? Church, we have to get these spiritual gains. You know, church, I want to be well fed off the Word of God. I want all of our cups to be overflowing to one another. So, church, let me ask you, have you been eating? You know, how full of God's Spirit are you guys? Are you guys with me today? Amen. Come on. Have you guys been getting them spiritual gains? Have you been studying? Have you been spending time studying the Bible? You know, think about this. Like, do you feel right now that your cup is overflowing? Like, are you full of God's Spirit, joy, love, peace, all the fruits of the Spirit? And take a look at your quiet times. If you're running on E and you haven't been getting good quiet times, I guarantee there's a connection. Now here, I have a little picture of Jesus, okay? Now, I doubt that he looked like this physically, okay? Because he fasted for 40 days. But if we were able to see into the spiritual, I believe Jesus would look like this. Imagine being with Jesus. Talk about a spiritual high. Come on, guys. We got to read our Bibles. You guys can turn your Bibles over to Acts 4. You know, the second point I want to make is that we need to pray, guys. Amen. If we want to be God-verted, if we want to be full, then we have to go to God in prayer. So starting in Acts 4, verse 7, it says, let me get there. They had Peter and John. Okay, so let me explain really quick. So this is right after Peter and John just healed this guy who couldn't walk. Well, this is shortly after that. And then reading in verse 7, it says, they had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, by what power or what name did you do this? And then in verse 10, then know this, this is Peter and John talking, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, by whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jumping down to verse 23. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up, and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And they prayed. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Verse 32, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. Now, there's a lot going on in this. But Peter and John, they perform this miracle, right? They heal this guy, they tell him to get up and walk. And then they report back to their people. And what do? They pray. In fact, if you look, they just prayed for the very thing that they just did. In verse 29 and 30, they pray to God to enable his servant to speak the word with boldness and for God to stretch out his hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. So a question that came to my mind was, you know, why didn't Peter and John just keep healing people? Like, they told this guy, hey, get up and walk. Like, silver and gold I don't have for you, but get up and walk. You're healed. And then just go over here and be like, you, sitting there, you're healed. You have leprosy over there, you're healed. Like, you, all the way in the back, boom, get up and walk too. I'm like, why didn't they just keep doing that? Like, on campus, if I have a great Bible study, all right, let's get into another one. All right, like, I just shared my faith with someone and they want to study the Bible, like, tomorrow. All right, let's go get this next person. Let's keep moving. So why didn't Peter and John just continue to heal people? Because they knew that their power wasn't their own. And I'm convicted by the example of how much they relied on God. The first century Christians were God-verted. You know, this year, leading the campus ministry, I've learned a ton. And I believe that prayer has been the most impactful part of my walk with God this semester. Mostly, me realizing that I need to go to God in prayer for everything. Every little thing. I need to be a Godvert. I need to get my energy from God. At the start of the school year, I thought I was relying on God. I was like, all right, this is going to be the best semester ever. We're going to baptize like 40 people. That was my goal. We're going to baptize 40 people. And, you know, if the elders when they asked Peter and John this question, if they would have asked me this question, Nick, by whose power and what name are you doing this in? I look back and I would have had to have answered, in the name of Nick Smalter, by my own power. And you guys can imagine that it didn't take me long to break down. You know, I studied the Bible with a lot of people. I shared my faith with a lot of people. But no one was really going after it. No one was really like, man, I want to know God. Like, dude, where's some water? Like, let's get baptized right now. You know? And I was like, what's going on? Like, I'm doing everything that I've been taught. I'm sharing my faith. I'm reading my Bible. I'm having good quiet times. But my prayer life was shallow. Even my own walk with God was struggling because of a very shallow prayer life. And then I realized, like, I'm not giving God opportunities to work in my life. I don't go to him in prayer. I'm just relying on my own strength. You know, and then I started to pray and I started to go to God for everything. I'm like, all right, God, like, Fill me with faith. Fill me with confidence. Show me who you want me to reach out to. Like when we're in a Bible study, let me say whatever you want me to say. And then I met Josue and Noah and Jovian at the gym. And getting them gains, as well as getting spiritual gains. And the question is, did I start to do anything different? I mean, besides a couple of rebukes from Stephen, not really. But guys, what changed was that I was being a Godvert. I was being Godverted. I started to go to God in prayer. And sure enough, God did work. God answered my prayers. Church, the battle is fought on our knees. You know, if we are a car, picture yourself as a car. Our engine is prayer. You can have the nicest car in the world. You could have a Lambo. You can have a Ferrari. You can have a Chevy Malibu like mine. Or you can have a car like Steven's that broke down today. But he got here. Amen. But without prayer, that car is not going anywhere. So church, how's your prayer life going? Are you giving opportunities for God to work in your life? You know, Noah, I'm super encouraged by Noah because he's just an eager beaver. Like, he is just going after it. He loves God. And we've been hanging out. We've been playing some 2K. And we'll go on prayer walks at midnight. And there's just something about praying after midnight. And the other night, it was raining out. And we're having a prayer walk. We're going around campus. And we're like, there's people like throwing trash out and they're running like back and forth, like, and we're just like, let's go. We're like, we do this. Like, we're God's soldiers. And we're like praying, we're like, God, thank you. This is so awesome to be outside praying in the rain. And then Noah was praying and we were getting towards his dorm, so we're wrapping up, and Noah prayed something. He said, Father, I just love the rain. He said, I love it so much. And it was one of those moments where, like, we're praying together. I kind of just look over, and I'm like, okay, amen. And then all of a sudden, like, as soon as he said that, it started to rain harder. Like, way harder. I was like, bro, God heard you. Like, that's insane. Church, I want us to be a church that with great power testifies to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And for God's grace to be working powerfully in us all. And all by the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You guys can turn your Bibles over to Philippians 1. My last point here is that we need to be living a life of inspiration. So in Philippians 1, verse 12. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. You know, the believers saw Paul in his chains, and they're like, yo, Paul, like, let's go preach the word even more boldly now. Paul was an inspiration for them. You know, I think a good example of this is when Joe Robinson led midweek not too long ago. And he shared the reasons as to why he reaches out. And you could just hear the conviction in his voice. You could tell that he wasn't faking it. Like, these are thoughts that he's really had. These are things that he's had to contemplate with. And it was just so inspiring to see Joseph's zeal. I don't know about y'all, but he really inspired me. You know, the next day I was on campus, and I called Steven. He's like, hey man, what's up? What are you up to? I'm like, dude, I'm sharing my faith with everything that breathes right now. Like, if they're in my sights, I'm going and getting them. And that was because Joe inspired me to go and share my faith. You know, we can all inspire one another to do more for God. And I know that midweek filled up my cup a little bit more. Thanks, Joe. You know, the campus, we were having family time. We started to have family times where we just hang out and we talk about, you know, who's studying the Bible and just ways we can encourage one another, way we can sharpen one another. And not too long ago, we were asking each other, okay, what encourages us? And it got to me and they're like, all right, Nick, so what encourages you? And I said, I said, when you guys really go after discipleship, like when you guys really go after sharing your faith, when you guys, when I hear that you guys are having deep quiet times and going on prayer walks and reaching out to people, like that gives me joy. And I don't know if that was the answer that they were necessarily looking for. They're like, oh, okay. But Paul says it in verse 18 right here. He says, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. You know, so is your walk with Christ inspiring those around you? This question is super challenging to me because I want to inspire those around me. I want to be getting them spiritual gains, church. I want to be spending time in my Bible. I want to have a prayer life that is inspiring. I want to have faith that you can walk into a room and cut it with a knife. I want to be a Godvert. And this semester, I've tried to seek out training. I've went after discipling. And, you know, I was kind of joking earlier about getting rebuked by Stephen, but it did happen. I mean, maybe that was a correction for him, but felt like a rebuke. And you know what? I want our campus going after discipling. Like, I want us to have wise people, like mature Christians who have been through it, like who have gone through tough times and know what's best for us. And if a rebuke happens, then amen, because a rebuke impresses the discerning. You know, I want to inspire the people I'm studying the Bible with. I want to inspire Noah and Hoswell and Jovian. Because there is nothing more important than being in a right relationship with God, guys. Amen. You know, I want to inspire my family. My mom called me yesterday on the phone, crying, telling me that she wants to get baptized. She's in Florida right now. This is the second time she's called me and told me that she wants to get baptized. And we've never talked about baptism. Like, we've never discussed it. She doesn't even know what baptism is. But she's like, I feel like the Spirit is telling me that I need to get baptized. And every Thursday, I get on the phone, I have a conference call with some of the Midwest campus ministers, and we have a prayer time. And it's like a campus prayer list, and on that prayer list, I actually have my mom. And I'm kind of thinking, well, this is campus, but hey, it's my mom. Like, we're going to have her on this list, and we're going to pray for her. And every single week, we pray for her. And Ross Sawyer, every time he goes, God, we are going to pray Nick's mom into the kingdom. And that is literally what is happening. I want to inspire my mom to love God with all of her heart. I want to inspire my sister to do the same. When I first became a Christian, my dad picked me up. I was still playing volleyball. He took me back to Buffalo, and I was like, Dad, let's study the Bible right now. Let's study out what it means to be a Christian, because this is so awesome. I want to tell you. And he knows exactly what it is, but he's not ready. You know what? I want to live a life that is so inspiring that he gives me a phone call and says, Nick, I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know what I've been waiting for. I'm ready for this right now. Like, let's study the Bible. I want my life with God to be so inspiring that people gravitate towards him. I want to inspire my friends from high school and college who only knew me as a kid who partied and was good at volleyball to see my life now and say, I want that. Because that is awesome. Amen. Wow. And it all starts with being a Godvert. So is your walk with God causing those around you to gravitate closer to God or further? Is your love for God evident to all? You know, we can inspire one another through our Bible study, through our prayer life, through sharing our faith or serving. But without inspiring one another, church, we're going to stay stagnant. As Peter talked about, we're not going to be transformed if we just are lukewarm Christians. We need to be, as Proverbs says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. You know, Jesus tells us, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Jesus tells us, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Church, we all know who we were before we were Christians. I'll be the first one to admit that I was nothing but a broken man who is extremely selfish. But praise be to God and our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. If you guys are looking to be filled up, if this is your first time here, I encourage you guys to study the Bible. And if you guys are studying right now, continue pressing forward. It's totally worth it. It's going to change your life. Guys, there's no other way but being a Godvert. Amen?
Amen.
We'll have one final song.